really empty today. But God is here.
Amen.
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 God is here. And he knows everything. So he's appointed this time for us. Amen. Who believes that?
Amen.
So today, I just want to share something that God has put in my heart. It's a simple truth. And babe, if I could have the slide. It's just that God is a good father.
Amen.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Amen.
And there's actually two statements here. Is that God is good, and also that God is a father. But these statements, they have to go together. And the Bible describes God as a father, which means that we are his children. Amen?
Amen.
So we have been adopted into his family. And if we go to Romans 8, verses 15 to 16, we will see that this is true. So it says here, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." And then in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, it says pretty much the same thing. It says, I'm just going to read it for the sake of time, but you can note this down and read it later. "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law." So there's the slaves again. "So that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba Father. Now you are no longer slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir." So we see here that we have actually received a spirit of sonship. It's an actual, the Spirit of God has given us the right to become his children. So it's the spirit of sonship. We used to have a spirit of slavery, fearful spirit, and now we have a spirit of sonship, which means that we don't have a spirit of fear or a spirit of an orphan or a slave anymore. Amen. It means that we are an heir with him, which means that everything that the Father has now belongs to us. And I believe that the enemy so often, he tries to keep us from seeing this truth, because he knows that when we believe that God is the good Father that he is, we are going to just pour ourselves into that relationship of that sonship, and we are going to be able to walk out our destiny, and we're going to be able to walk in our full identity. And I think the way that the enemy does things as well is very cunningly at times, because he knows that if he comes with straight up lies, like when we're a bit more mature, when he comes with these lies, we are quick to see them, and we are quick to say no. So I believe that his tactics at times is to actually give us half truths, which is also a lie. But because it's not the complete truth, we are more likely to take it. Does that make sense? So when he comes and he says to us, "You're a slave, you're an orphan, you're not a son or a daughter of God," we're quickly to say, no, that's not true. The Bible says, "I am a daughter, I am a son of God." But when he comes and he says, "Oh, you don't deserve that. You're not really a vital part of the kingdom. If you don't do that, someone else will." We are quickly to accept those lies. And in regards to this, what we're talking about today, God being a good father, I just want to quickly share about two lies, could I say, or two like half truths that I believe the enemy tries to enslave us to. And I've seen this in my life a lot, and that's why I wanted just to share this today. And the first one is that he will allow you to believe that God is good, but he's not a father. So you believe the first half of that. You believe that he's a good God, but not necessarily a father. So this means that we believe he can do amazing things. We believe everything that's in the Bible, and we believe that he's done all of that stuff. But we don't believe that he will do it for us. We don't see him as a personal father. And therefore, we put ourselves out from receiving everything that he can give us. Does that make sense? So, for those of us who are thinking like this today, and sometimes I still fall into thinking this way, you know, that I see his goodness, but then when something happens in my life, I think, oh no, surely not to me, you know, not for me. I just want to encourage that God is a good father. And it says in John 1:12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Amen.
Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And in 2 Corinthians 6:18 it says, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So he is your father. He is a father to every single one of us. Amen?
Amen.
So whatever you see that's happened on someone else's life and you think, oh no, that's not for me, it is for you. It is for you because he is your father also.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So it just means that if you have given your life to God through Jesus, you are a child. Whether you see this truth or not, it's who you are, it's the position that you have. He died so that he could be a father to you. Just let that sink in. He died so that he could do this. He didn't just want to save you. He wanted to be a father to you. He wanted to reconcile us. When I say you, I mean us, all of us. So this is the first half-truth with which I believe that we so often allow into our lives. And the second one is that we see God as a father. We sometimes see him as a father, but not necessarily a good one. Especially if we haven't had a good role model in our lives as a father, or if we have had a father but they weren't very kind to us. We start to think that God is that kind of father. So, and I believe that's another thing that the enemy does, where we only take half of the truth. Not that he's a good father, but that he's a father. It's like, yeah, I believe he's my father. But we have this distorted image about him. And when this happens, when we see him as a father, but not a good one, we spend our whole lives striving to earn his love. We think to ourselves, if only I could do this, if only I could be like this, if only I could be like that person, if only I could, then he would love me. Then he would love me. And we fall into this trap. We have this, like, twisted truth where we believe that his love is actually affected by what we do. We believe that his love is affected by our performance, because that's what we see happening,
yeah,
you know, with our earthly fathers. You know, sometimes we don't do something well, and it feels like they don't love us as much, or sometimes it can be a bit too harsh, or just not as loving, and we fall into that trap. But I just want to tell us all today that he is a good father. He's not just a father, but he is good. In Matthew 7:11, chapter 7, verse 11, it says, so if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? And Psalm 103, verses 13 to 14, it says, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust." This is how kind he is. He knows how weak we are. We don't have to pretend to be strong. He knows how weak we are, and he remembers that we are only dust. Another version says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on his faithful followers. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." To me, this verse is just show us how good, how kind and compassionate our Father really is. And to me, I think the most amazing thing is not even that he is a father, or that he is good, or even that he is a good father, but that he is a good father always. He doesn't change. So if you find yourself today only seeing him as a good God, but not necessarily a personal father, or if you see him as a father, but not a very good father, whatever situation we may find ourselves, I just want to encourage us all that he still sees us as his beloved child. That when we gave our life, like I said before, this became truth in our spirit. Even if we can't see it for ourselves, it's true and it's in us. And you can't change his affections for you. He's always the same. And in James chapter 1 verse 17, tells us that he's unchanging. It says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." So many times I just didn't feel like I was, you know, good enough. And I just felt like I was just constantly battling this spirit of orphan, this spirit of slave. Well, I felt like I had to constantly prove to God or prove to myself that I was worthy of the calling that God had for me. I was worthy of what he wanted to do in my life, or even just worthy of having his love, you know. And I remember one day, I was at a church service, and this was even before the sermon started, and the sermon was actually about that specific thing, how God loves us no matter what, and how we're no longer orphans. And I felt God say to me, "I see all of you, and I still desire you." And it made me think, oh my gosh, he sees all, every single part of my life, every, like, the darkest areas, the deepest evil desires, the most ugly things. He sees all of that, and he doesn't run away. It's not that he just doesn't run away, but he desires, he pursues. And it blows my mind that he doesn't just accept me, but he pursues me, he desires me, even with all of that. And I feel like sometimes if I was to share some of the stuff that sometimes I feel or think, I think a lot of you would have a completely different image of me, and a lot of you would probably run away. But God doesn't. That's how much he loves us. He doesn't run away. He doesn't even, he doesn't even look at you like, ooh. No, he's like, okay, he's not afraid of, you know, getting his hands dirty and picking you up and just cleaning you and washing you and making you more like him. He's not afraid of that. He really isn't. Sometimes we feel like we're going to do something to God, and we're going to affect. No, this is God. Like,
yeah.
He cannot be affected.
Yeah.
He cannot be changed. He cannot be nothing. Like, we can go to Him. We really can. And when He spoke this to my heart, I kind of wrote a song. It's a bit long, so I've shortened it. I really took the part that I think is relevant. I just wanted to read it to you guys, because I was reading it, and I was like, oh, like, thanks, Lord. This is true. And it says, so to your altar I come. You see all of my heart, including the darkest parts. And you say I have made you mine. Every part is mine. Every part belongs to me. All your failures, all your fears, all of your dreams, every tear. Give it all to me, for I can handle it. I paid the highest price, so you could be all mine. And yeah, it just makes me think how He doesn't run away. He says, I can handle it. The darkest parts, everything, I'm a good father. I will always be there. I can handle it. No, nothing is too much for Him. And that just brings such peace to my heart when I think about this. That He can handle anything I give Him. And that we're not alone. And just wanted to, just quickly share another testimony. That really just showed me, once again, how good He is. And it helped me to remove these half-truths, you know, these thoughts of, yeah, He's good, but maybe not that good to me. He's good to other people, but maybe He wouldn't do that for my life. And the other lie, which is, yeah, He's a father, but maybe not a very good one. And I think, like, these lies have been so, like, strong in my life that I've just had such a spirit of, like, orphan, where I was literally, like, just trying to earn everything. Even, like, doing things in the church, or it was always, I felt like it was constantly for approval, I lacked this, like, significance. It didn't come from God, it came from people, it came from other parts, you know, other areas of my life. And I just feel like it was so strong, and I didn't realize it until God actually showed it to me. So my prayer today is that the Holy Spirit will actually show us what we have, this, you know, whatever it may be, this desire to earn the love of God, or to be approved by God, even though He has already made a way for that. He's already done everything, but we're still trying to make it like it's something that we can do. We always put it on us. And then, yeah, so this story just really spoke to me again, just how kind God is, and I just wanted to share, because it's nothing supernatural, but it's just God's kindness. And then basically we were at Long Beach one day, and we went to an ice cream shop, and they have really crazy ice cream flavors in America, like really wild flavors. And then we were at this ice cream shop, and there was a specific one, and the flavors were, I can't remember exactly, but it was something like strawberry, cognac, black pepper, and salt, like something like that. Like, really, yeah, it sounds a bit disgusting, but I thought, oh, that sounds weird, can I try it? And then I tasted it, and it was amazing. Like, it blew my mind, and you guys know how much I love food. And as soon as I tasted it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, I need some of this ice cream. And I was just so happy. It's such a silly thing, but it made me so happy to try that new flavor. And then a few days later, I was struggling with my thoughts. Just feeling like I wasn't doing good enough, feeling like I didn't do enough that day to please God, or, you know, just having that orphan slave, you know, spirit all over. And He literally, He reminded me, He just gave me this picture of me trying the ice cream and smiling and being like, oh, this is nice. And he actually said to me, he said, I'm delighted in that moment. That moment delighted me. I was delighted with you. And it made me think, like, he delights in natural things. He is that good of a father that he's not just there like with a whip, you know, come on, do more for me, do this. No, it just blew my mind. It just showed me the heart of a father, the heart of a father that when their kids try something for the first time, when they do something for the first time, it can be the like silliest thing, like they learn to jump, or they learn to take the first step, or something that it's just so, like it's nothing, it's not special, if you really think about it, like you're walking, okay, everybody walks, do you know what I mean? Like it's not, nothing special, but it's like, he delights in that. He's like, because we have this thought that we can be like that, but God can't. And it says here that you being evil can do this. Imagine your heavenly father. So we think, oh yeah, I can be delighted in, you know, my kids taking their first step. But when we do something small, we disregard it. We say, nah, God doesn't care about that. Oh no, God won't, nah, that's not for God. But he wants all, everything. He wants us to be living sacrifices. That means the natural stuff, the supernatural stuff, the spiritual stuff, the physical stuff. Everything is God's. Everything is to please his heart. Even if you're trying an ice cream flavor and you're happy, he's happy with you. He's delighting with you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
But yeah, I think too often we fall into this trap of being slaves before we become children. Either because, like I said, we see him being good to others, but not a personal father to us. We don't believe that he cares about us intimately and deeply. Or we see him as a father, but not a very good one, which causes us to strive to earn his love, and sometimes even to distance ourselves from him, when really he just wants us to be his kids. And yeah, I really believe that God wants to break this from us today. Because as we said earlier, he called us to be his sons and daughters. It's already ours. We don't have to strive. We don't have to try and earn it. And I'm not saying that there isn't works involved, but if the heart is, I'm going to do this so that God can love me, then we've got it all wrong. We've got it all twisted. That's not who he is. Amen.